Well, it's a little bit painful. But good pain. It's growing pain.
Yeah, we're recording now.
Oh, we're recording now? Yeah. Can we start recording when I know?
No, it didn't work that way. I like it natural, you know?
Why does everybody want everything to be natural?
Because they don't. People are sick of like fake bullshit. That's why.
If everybody says that until shit's too fucking natural, and then they just want to have it all figured out, fake like.
Yeah, but see that was good for you though, that mic, because it was super casual, and you were fine. Fuck. You should have just kept going.
Yeah. Well,
and that's why I was like, go, keep going.
Well, it's first time up, and you know, we did it last year. I went out, right?
With it was
you
last
once.
Year?
Was it last year or the year before?
I think about a year before.
Yeah, I mean, I went out with you once, and then, haven't since then, and I didn't do that hot then, and, but this time, like, it was because I got a little bit fucking rattled by the silence.
Yeah.
And instead of just trying to, like,
just power through it
and power through.
Yeah.
I was more like, and then I'm trying that connecting with the audience thing, and there was no connection there whatsoever.
Well, and see, and this is when you were saying that on the way up here, you wanted to connect with the audience. I was like, I was gonna tell you, but like, you like bar mics, there's no point in trying to do that. Maybe if it's more of a captive audience, but when it's like a wild like open space to where they're kind of paying attention, there's no point in doing that. Like that one, the last chick, that Amber chick, like I wasn't feeling a lot of her stuff, but I know a lot of it would work in like a comedy club setting.
Yeah.
Because she'd draw you in. She actually had stuff. And that's the thing, like, you gotta do it at the bar. Where are that guys in Orlando? Fuck marriage! You have to, like, and what you do, like, in a place like that, I think, what you do is, you gotta get their fucking attention. Yeah. And then once you get their attention, then you can drag them in with all that other shit.
Yeah. Well, I think I just need to tell the fucking jokes and not, But that's the thing, is that I could have done that if I was, that's what's so interesting. It really is, comedy is an art. Like, it's not just a set, step by step, you know, this is what you do. You go up, you tell jokes like this, you connect with the audience like this. No, man, it's going to be different every room. It's going to work. So one thing that works in one room is not going to work in another.
Exactly.
Just like you say, even just maybe trying to connect with the audience. However, not one dude. All he did was talk shit to the audience the whole time.
You know, Sean Grady?
Yeah.
He was hilarious.
Yeah. And he was fucking really killed the most in that room.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he didn't have to tell jokes, because that is really what they fucking
That's crowd work.
You know, yeah.
Crowd work, man. I mean, you get some cats. He used to host one of the rowdiest mics in SAC, JB's Lounge. And, dude, people talk through all your sets that place. And so he's used to that.
Yeah, well, that was a really good, to me, he gave me a really good lesson in that's how you handle a room like that. Like, again, no fucking jokes. He's just, I think he knows a lot of people in there, but, you know, still, it was a good job of just fucking talking to people and talking shit and yelling and getting people. Well,
when that dude was like, oh, you know, stop being barbershop funny, nigga. He was like, what higher learning head? Ice Cube, he cracked. Yeah, that killed me right there.
Yeah, it was good, man. But man, you know, so speaking, you know, since we're just talking comedy, just came back from an open mic in SAC. And I liked your set, by the way. Like I said, man, just like, I can just tell every time I watch you these days, because I've known you for so long, that you really just have set, you know, you're settled into like a real comfort zone on the stage.
Yeah.
And it just shows, you know, like I can tell, like, if I was up there more, I could get to that comfort zone.
Oh, you
zone,
will.
You know, and I've had it before.
Oh, yeah.
But I could definitely see it with you and feel that I didn't have it, but I'm, you know, it didn't really frustrate me that much.
But here's the thing, like, that you don't even get, like, nobody else saw that you were uncomfortable. I did. But nobody else did. You were fine. That's why I was like, keep going.
I didn't like that at all.
Nobody else thought that in the least.
But the thing of it is that it's the silence. The silence is what really, to me, having done comedy before, I feel like it's the silence is the biggest factor that you have to be able to deal with one way or another. Like, if you can deal with that silence and not be rattled by it and actually just keep a comfort zone in that, then you'll be all right. But I feel like I kind of got a little bit shook by it tonight, and I have in the past. But at the same time, I did enjoy it. I made it a point to not be, even though I was feeling like I needed to slink off the stage, like, I didn't feel, like, bad about myself or, like, oh, that sucked. I was, like, I was laughing, and I was like, well, that was fun. But yeah, I needed to get off the stage, so, yeah, so I can go back up again.
I don't, like, I remember I was doing a mic in Oakland, and there was a comic, and I remember him saying, he was like, dude, people think silence is a bad thing. He's like, it's not. You have to learn how to accept it. And it sometimes builds to a point to where, like, that one dude who did that long-ass joke, Eric Hickok is his name, and he did that long joke with the Mexican names and all that.
Yeah.
See, he owned the silence.
Yeah.
If you notice,
yeah.
He kind of was like, he stopped and kind of let it build. And dude, I still haven't even mastered that. I don't even try it. Like, I won't keep dead air. I'll just keep stuff going.
Yeah, that's something. That's good. It's something to be aware of. I really had enjoyed that for the lessons learned, I feel like. But it's you know, that reminds me to think back, since this is, which, you know, again, in your infinite professionalism, forgot to introduce, just, okay, we're on, and that, you know, forget to tell the good people that may be listening, this is the BA and Blaze podcast.
So you don't have to do that, because here's the beauty of this. I can do that in post-production. I don't have to, like, dude, I'm telling you, people want natural. They don't want made up shit. They want people just talking. That's what I think.
So anyway, fucking coming back from open mic and SAC, and how many years ago was it? First open mic? Your first open mic.
It's been more than 10 years.
Hell yeah, it has. And where was it?
The first time I ever got up, it was in the Brainwash Cafe in San Francisco.
Did you only go up one time before I went up?
I didn't go up before you.
That was your first time?
Me and you went. It was the first time I ever got up.
It was?
Yeah, dude. All I did before was I scouted it out. I went there. Yeah, that was the first time I got up.
Damn, I feel even worse about that set now. I remember going up. I remember very vividly us driving together.
Yeah.
On our way up there. And it's really, because I can feel comfortable now with myself at this age of embarrassing stories.
Ooh, I remember this story.
I can
vividly.
I can honestly say, driving up there, I actually asked you a question that I was seriously asking you. Do you remember the question?
Yeah. Well, you were all like, dude, so like, I'll go up here, I'll kill. All right, and then I'll start touring.
It was basically that. It was like, how long do you think before I should quit my job?
Yeah.
I think I used those exact words. How long do you think I should do this before I should quit my job?
Well, you had it all figured out, man.
That is gotta be the most fucking, God had to be sitting up there laughing his ass off knowing what was about to fucking come next. Because we get to the Brainwash, which is an infamous comedy spot in San Francisco, or was. It is a cafe / laundromat.
Was, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, the only fucking, only you'd find that only in San Francisco. But man, it was like the spot for people to go to do stand-up comedy on this little fucking half a stage.
Yeah.
It's just like a step up from the fucking ground.
Yeah.
At the end of the cafe. But man, that mic list was 30 deep.
Oh, yeah.
And we got there, signed up, and I got up, man. I had it all figured out. I still remember my fucking opening line because I had it figured out. I was going to get them right from the start, grab them by the throat. I was going to be like, hey, how you guys doing tonight? And as soon as, you know, people started interacting and letting me know, I was like, yeah, I don't care. And that was going to get me the first laugh off the bat.
Yeah, because it was, how you guys doing? I don't care. This guy's looking all wild. This guy's a rapper.
Oh, it's good. And man, as soon as I said that, and it just was met with dead fucking silence.
Nothing.
It was like kind of getting like not even punched, but like smacked in the nose.
So do you remember the feeling?
Yeah.
When it hit you?
I just said it. It's like getting smacked in the nose.
So.
Oh shit. Okay, but that's all right. I just kept going, right? And I'm not even gonna fucking bother with trying to say what any of those jokes were, but I did. I had this kind of like this idea that I was gonna be really fucking clever and smart and talk about like how we do social things and how fucking far off it is, like fucking, you know, answering the phone like hello, like we don't know who's on the other end or some shit like that. And when I got off the stage, I still remember looking Tony Sparks fucking. I remember his words so vividly clear, so fucking painful but true. He said, that was really logical. Wasn't funny, it sure was logical. And I just slinked away down the stage. And you know what though? On the way home, I really didn't feel that bad about myself. And the reason why was because you kind of were the one that got me to go because you had been wanting to do stand-up.
Well, you pushed me.
Yeah. And I pushed you. But like, and I love stand-up, and so when you started getting me, man, you should go up. I was like, you know what? I should. I had done like CPR classes. Like, I had no problem with the stage.
Talking in front of people.
No problem, right? So I'm like, you know what? And I love stand-up comedy. I came up with some jokes. I get up there. I did it. I fucking sucked. I was like, all right, well, that was fun. I gave it a shot. No big deal. I wasn't really, my ego wasn't destroyed, you know? I mean, my ego wasn't fucking built up, but it wasn't destroyed. But you, on the other hand, you did pretty good. Did I not just say in that little sequence, and I'll shut the fuck up, I did not get a single laugh through that entire set of all the jokes that I told. Not one, BA, not a giggle. You know what I got? I got this cute girl that was in the front that was smiling at me.
What'd she look like?
Well, you know, she was kind of, you know.
Probably Asian, yeah.
Asian-ish, maybe. You know, she looked good. That's all I'm saying. And that, I guess, because she kept smiling at me, and, you know, obviously because she felt sorry for me, but at least she smiled at me enough to get me some hope to get through that set. And, but yeah, you, I know you got a fucking couple laughs better than I did.
Well, after that, for me, the host came up to me and was like, hey, so where are you working at? Who are you with? I was like, nowhere. He was like, all right, man, you got something. And I was like, wow. I do. Well, for me.
Well, fuck you.
Well, dude, for me, and this is what I've said from the beginning. That it wasn't even about being funny. For me, it was just getting up there and regurgitating an act. Because I had it all memorized. And I probably said it super fast. And people, they were just, when I think about it now, it was fucking so super hacky. Not really that. I didn't think it was funny now. But at the time, it was just me getting up there. And I did that. Went from there. And I think I remember coming back. I think I went back and came back. And that's when I ran across Pepper Bellies.
Ah, so see, that's where the story continues right there. Because after that set, I went home and continued on with my regular fucking day job. Like, I had thought that I was going to be quitting. And realized, hey, not a fucking comedian. That's cool. And just go back to work, right?
I remember the one time, though, too. We were taking, like, a class together. And because if you remember, for me, you remember what I did. Remember, I took a speech class.
Yeah.
To get me used to it. But I remember me and you were taking some class. And there was a point where we had to stand up and talk. And I stood up. And you looked at me like, you're fucking nervous. You remember that? You looked at me, you're nervous. I was like, go fuck yourself. I am. I wasn't used to it. And even, dude, and that's the thing, even still today, I was nervous tonight.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just weird. It's like a different, it's definitely nervousness that I feel. but I channel it some kind of way where it's like I'm telling myself it's not nervous, I'm telling myself, oh, this is good. This is a great feeling being nervous. This is so healthy because it kind of is, but it is still nerves, man.
But there's a part of you that you should just accept the fact that, like, I almost feel like as long as you're doing stand up, and maybe, I don't know, maybe if I did it as a job, I would not, but I feel like if I don't ever have those nerves, I almost feel like there's something wrong, that I don't care anymore.
Well, all I know is that when you found, so after that, I stopped, and you were like, I'm going to keep going, and a familiar story right there has happened after, but I was like, yeah, no, it's just like, I went up because BA thought I should, and it was, you know, I experienced that, and I'm cool. But then, like, I realized...
You kept coming back, though.
No, I didn't for a long time, though, until you found Pepper Bellies.
Oh.
And then it was like, oh, well, it's local, and you mentioned it, and I was... All of a sudden, something that someone said one time clicked in my head. She said... It was a female friend, and she was like, I like dirty comedians, you know? And it was kind of surprised me, because she wasn't like... Like, I wouldn't think, like, right off the top that she would think that. And as soon as she said that, I was like, you know, so do I, actually. I always liked George Carlin and Eddie Murphy.
I'm Richard Pryor. Carlin dirty.
Oh, yeah. He's dirty.
But that's not the first thing you're going to think of with him. Well, to me, he's a wordsmith.
But anyway. He is like a fucking master wordsmith. But when I remember as a kid, because of just the way cussing and stuff.
Well, what's it, the seven words
you can't say on television or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, but I just know that, yeah, dirty is good. And so I came up with this fucking jokes. And I remember the very first I jumped on stage and was like, so my girlfriend's a nymphomaniac.
And that worked.
And that shit worked. I got some laughs and I felt fucking good. And that's whenever I started grinding with you for a while.
Well, I remember too, somebody was like, yeah, he just does dirty stuff or whatever. And you know, like, in the beginning, that's the one thing that I realize is that, like, you can listen to people, but especially if it's somebody who's not even doing stand-up, it's like, what the fuck do you even know? You're a person that pays attention to it, but you're one person. You're not every audience member. So, like, not to say that I'm not going to listen to what you say and kind of take it, but, like, it's not gospel. You know what I'm saying? Like, one person can't dictate it unless that one person is like a booker who's got a bunch of fucking stand-up comedy clubs or a comic who's done or whatever. You can't, if you let one person dictate, but then too, that's also why, in a way, like, I don't really like doing stand-up in front of people that I know or people that I'm around all the time, because once you lay it out there, you can't bring it back in.
Yeah. Well, and remember back in those days, we used to like to tell everybody.
Well, yeah.
I do stand-up comedy. And for some reason, used to fucking think, we both have a story about how we thought some chick would be impressed by it.
Well, anybody would
threw it out there.
But nobody cares. That's nice.
Nobody fucking cares. That's nice.
I don't
even. Good for you. Yeah. I got good for you. You know, well, I do some stand-up comedy. Thinking about to get my fucking nuts stroked.
Good
for you.
Because nowadays,
want a cookie?
Nowadays, it's one of those things to where, and I think it cuts back to like the internet again too, to where, like,
everybody's a comedian.
Yeah, and you know, and like I remember I took like a lot of pride in, like, anytime I was having shows, I put my little Facebook profile picture of me and the microphone. I don't do that shit now because I almost feel like, who cares?
Do you want to know, I can tell you where we really went wrong in our life is we were making videos in the early, that's actually like earlier days of YouTube, if you really think about it.
Yeah.
We were actually making and editing comedy videos that had some comedic value. They weren't the fucking master class fucking videos, but you know what? They were pretty good.
So where did we go wrong?
We fucking stopped making them.
Yeah.
We would have continued just like you did with comedy, if we would have kept making videos like that, it would have got somewhere.
Yeah, you're right.
Because it was
We were built on something.
Yeah, we had some good shit, man. In fact, I think most of those fucking videos are like gone, disappeared.
No, you know what? They're still up. All that grinded up stuff?
No, not grinded up comedy. I'm talking about
like the skit
videos.
The fucking MySpace shit?
Yeah.
Craig.
Oh my God.
Addicted to MySpace.
Holy shit, dude.
That album was good, actually.
I really like that one fucking, when we did the one with the NFL music, and like we were fucking, you stepped out. Oh, we're watching a game or something and fucking put your nuts in a drink or something, and I rub my nuts and put it on the chips, and we're just all like, that was really fucking well done.
But
man.
You know why it fucked up is because, again, even, and we can talk shit or whatever, but we were all caught up in, gotta make a viral video.
Yeah, because we weren't, that was the thing. Even back then, if you weren't getting any fucking play, it was like you just didn't grind it out. And now I know and I see and like,
you gotta
hearing
just keep
stories
doing it, yeah.
of these other fucking pages, you've got to be unknown for a long time.
Yeah.
And just keep putting your
just
shit out.
Just doing what you're doing,
going,
yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah, and eventually something will catch on, then
yep.
boom.
Yep.
Well, what I don't like, you get these fucking gamer dudes, they play video games, and they're making $20 million a year. Because people are watching them play video games.
So it's not that I don't like it, I completely don't understand it. There are pages out there that I don't like or could care less about that I understand. Like makeup tutorials. I can see how those chicks make fucking bank because every girl
they're showing yeah.
So there's a value there, right? But like just playing video games, like I would think that the fun part is playing the video games. Watching someone else play video games
when you,
and just because they say funny shit.
So have you ever rolled up on your kids watching that shit?
Well, not that I've rolled up on them, but they tell me. I mean, my kids are really connected to the YouTube world and all that, what's popular, and you know, so they watch, I'm sure, probably some of those pages, but they tell me about what's fucking hot and like how, like one of my sons was talking about doing a page like that with one of his friends. And just like
fucking let him.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Fucking, what do you need? You know?
Well, cause I don't. I guess there's like commentary that some people put in, but I'm just like, dude, they're making $10 million. It's from YouTube, like ad revenue.
Like, I'm just wondering what the fuck they're watching for. Like, don't they play those same games? I mean, is he unlocking shit for them, or he's just entertaining them? Like, I don't get it. I really don't. Yeah. But obviously, it doesn't matter what the fuck I get, because they are cleaning up. Those are the top fucking channels.
And can you imagine being a parent of that kid? You can't make any money fucking playing video games. You can't do it. Really? I got $10 million.
You can't tell that kid shit. He fucking just bought a house with his video game money. Smoke weed, play video games all day.
What's the one? Do you watch South Park at all?
I haven't in a while, but
yeah. Yeah, because one of the gamers' name was like Cutie Tootie Pie or some
Cutie Pie.
Yeah, that guy. Well, apparently that guy, the thing with that dude is
he's the top dog of it.
Well, but he's lost money because he started like he said something racist and. So some of the advertisers got bitter and, you know, took it to some of his revenue down.
Right,
so instead of making $20 million, he's only making $5
million,
like, or whatever. Yeah,
that's weak, right?
How much do you think you would have to make to be set for life? What's the number?
I don't know, man. Like, because I'm, like, fucking... I don't know. I could make it
for
on...
For you,
it.
Yeah. For you.
Like, it just
what
be,
do you think it would
be?
It'd
be a low amount. I don't know.
You think $10 million can set you for life?
Fuck yeah.
I think so.
Fuck yeah.
I think $5 million.
I can fucking live on a lot less.
Well, you know why though too? It's because as long as you're not like caught up in that life, like you're not gonna run out and try to buy a fucking big ass mansion and a G5 jet and a fucking Rolls Royce on gold fucking 22-inch rims.
Yeah, I don't know, man, how they make it, but,
Should have got off over there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
I forgot where. you know, the thing about YouTube and all that that we, you know, we could have, I think we could have done something with those videos. And then, yeah, the grinded up comedy thing, that was
good. That shit's got, I pull that up every now and then, and man, the production value is really good.
Yeah, there's some real, and it's just the time commitment to doing it. Because remember, I wanted to redo it again. I actually did a whole other episode that I never put on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah, I thought I showed it to you. But it's the amount of time that it takes to fucking edit that shit. It is just, I got so much shit going on, you know?
Well, that's the thing, man. We got lives.
Yeah.
And that, like, I mean, I could see how, like if you got just a lot of just, like, time on your hands, you could edit the shit out of something.
Yeah.
And see, and the thing with you, though, too, is you're very meticulous. You pay attention. And so, like, I mean, think about it. Like, you could literally spend a shitload of... Oh, fuck. Goddamn. Spend a shit ton of time on like a 5-minute scene. You'll hear about people talking about, dude, I've been working on this movie for like 3 years. I mean, there was a time where I'd have been like, really? Now I understand.
Oh man, and when it gets to editing, dude, that's like such a deep art form to me. Like it's meticulous is the word, because in order to get it right, because what people don't realize is when it comes to editing anything, like certain, especially like TV shows and movies, whenever if you don't like have a, you know, people know that editing is like just cutting up the visuals and putting them together and stuff, but what you don't realize is that you don't even realize what good editing is until it's not good editing.
Exactly.
Like, that's not an original thought of mine. I've heard somebody else say it, but it makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Like if you're watching a scene where the car is driving and then there's like another car that's about to crash in, you're and like, they cut it at the right time, and they like, you feel this tension building as they're getting closer and closer, what you don't realize is if there's a certain point where if they don't cut, then you don't feel that tension. It's like there's beats that you have to hit right at the right time, and it's like you cut to one thing, and if you have it on there for 0.5 seconds, it's perfect. But if you have it on there for 0.75 seconds, then it doesn't feel the same.
And it's almost like editors don't get like they get recognized, I'm sure, by like the Academy and all that. But like your everyday person, they don't give a fuck.
And they don't know.
Well, dude, like you'll see a video on YouTube, you're like, oh shit, that motherfucker, that was cool.
Yeah.
But other people, like, you know, like homeboy, Jason, the dude we knew, like, I remember he would say, he's like, dude, I see some of the things you're doing, and man, it's cool how you're evolving and doing all this, and it meant a lot, because he pays attention to little shit like that.
Because he filmed and edited shit.
Yeah, so I was like, you know what, thank you. It ain't like somebody else, like, dude, I did a video... This video, that talking, was it the talking radiology machine? Did you ever see that video I did?
Uh-huh.
Dude, people still talk about that video to this day. And ask me, when are you going to do another one? I'm like, I don't know.
Hey, you realize that if you fucking type in, I don't know if it's maybe the same now because shit changes all the time on YouTube. But for a long time, if you type in emergency department technician... On YouTube...
Our video,
really, that we did together, I just helped you with, but you did the editing for that shit. That was fucking for our workplace.
Well, you know,
just a little fucking promo video for our job.
Well, some of the comments I get on that thing are funny. Some of them are, you get bitter texts like, fuck yeah, I know what that's all about. Fuck nurses. Damn, I didn't realize, you know, next time we're not going to park here. It's your car by itself. That's not a good look.
Yeah, maybe not.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, so is this like, how long are we on the podcast here? Is this a real...
We did 30 minutes, man.
Damn.